curse of In the Bleak Midwinter.
Comes a time when you may participate even more as you share your joys and concerns, personal and for the church, or if you would like to share a resolution for 2012, whatever you would like to say, we're ready to hear it. Mr. Dan?
My friend George, who I grew up with, is very ill with emphysema and COPD. He blames it on 50 years of smoking, and he's probably right, but he needs our prayers.
Prayers for George. Other prayers or concerns?
Continued prayers for Walter.
Praise the Lord. Asida, midima onyami. Asida, midima onyami. Asida, midima onyami. Midima onyami. Midima onyami. Asida, midima onyami. Midima onyami. Midima onyami. Asida, midima onyami, nyami yo. Asida, midima onyami, nyami ye. Asida, midima onyami, midima onyami, midima onyami. Father, I want to tell you thank you. Thank you, my Lord. I want to tell you thank you. Thank you, my Lord. Father, I want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Savior. I want to tell you thank you. Thank you, my Lord. Father, I want to tell you thank you. Thank you, my Lord. I want to tell you thank you. Thank you, my Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell God thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Father, I tell you thank you for what you have done for me. I don't know I will be here today, but through your mercy, through your goodness, through your favorness, through your blood where you cover me, make me today I sit down here. Father, I get nothing to pay you, but I just praise you every hour. Because you are young, I am. You are the Alpha Omega. He said, trust me, believe me. Always I will use our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, Father. Because he know where he taken me from. He know where you taken me from before I hear today. Now praise you, now magnify you. I tell the church member, the pastor, the choir, the sisters and brothers, I tell you, I thank you for your prayer. I tell you, I thank you for your support. I tell you, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we tell you, thank you. We is at 2002. Father, we don't know where he is at. But I tell you, say mercy, Lord. Have mercy upon everybody, Lord. Because you are God by ourselves. Father, take the sickness away. Take the problem away. Take the everything we know in your heart. What the doctor can do it, Father, only you can do it, Lord. Father, I present your children to you. Everybody, Father, touch us, Lord Jesus. Touch us to heal us, to be with us all day and night, Father. We praise you and we magnify you. Thank you. Present all my children to you, Father. I tell them thank you for your mercy. Father, follow on for your goodness, for your mercy. Give me the Lord now. Give me the Lord now. Life, life, life. And personality. More year, Lord Jesus. I tell you, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Other concerns, prayers? Yes, Cheryl.
I just want to share a couple of joys. Number one, to be with Beatrice for her birthday last Sunday. This family knows how to party. And also, I shared New Year's Eve yesterday afternoon with the Wadia and Nasser family. And what a joy it is to have these families in our church.
Okay. Joys and concerns.
I just want to ask a prayer for one of our neighbor who's little kid, about 8 months years old. He drowned. You know, he was about to drown. It's in the news. It was even in the news. I just want to ask. I don't know their names anyway. I'm pretty good, but ask a prayer for them.
Yeah. No resolutions for 2012. Long life and health, yes. Other prayers, joys, or concerns? Suzanne?
All right, at the risk of exposing myself totally, I'm going to try to do more meditation and yoga in 2012.
You want to write that down?
It's already.
I just want to ask prayers for the church and everybody in it, that God should protect us and the love that we share should be stronger than ever. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. Okay. Thank you very much for sharing.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, you hear the voices of your people gathered here. Prayers spanning all manner of points in our journey of faith, individually and as a faithful community. For the health of Dan's friend, George, our prayers in his time of health trial. For Walter, for a son who may have been a drowning victim. For this church as a community that struggles and strives and is bound together in the joy and the hope of your promises and spirit. For Beatrice's birthday and for the joys that we share with families who we know. For the passion of testimony in song and word. And for the not-so-halting resolution for more prayer and yoga in the year to come. We turn our calendar to a new year, O God. But your calendar and your time runs by a different clock. Let us tune our hearts to your days, to your call, to your convictions that you would have for us. We cry out for peace in a world where there at times seems so little peace. But as the scriptures lay claim on us, we will cry for peace anyway. For all of our leaders, here locally and nationally and around the world, give us wisdom, give us restraint, give us civility, give us rationality. For those in need here in Providence, throughout our glowing state of Rhode Island and our neighbors everywhere, we ask for your healing hand and for the gifts that only you can bring. We ask all these things today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning. How are you all this morning?
You okay? Good. So, no one brought any gifts, right? This was supposed to be a show and tell, that you could bring a gift. So tell me about one of the gifts that you received. What'd you receive, Emmy?
iPad 2.
iPad 2. Oh, wow. Oh, you're really with it, kid. Gee. Yes. That's very nice. Another gift that you received, huh? One gift that you got? What about it, Leah? One gift? How many gifts did you get?
A lot of gifts.
Nothing. Well, let me tell you about one of the gifts that Nancy and I received. This is a little handmade shaker carrier. My brother-in-law in Indiana makes these. He can remember when he helped his father cut down the walnut wood 37 years ago, many, many years ago. And then he fashions these into carriers after the shaker tradition. All very nice. Our house is filled with several of these. We relish each one of them. Very fine. So what about a gift that you gave? Can you tell me about a gift that you gave to someone? What'd you give, Emmy?
A candle.
A candle. Good. That's great. A gift that you gave? Didn't give any? Huh? Oh. What gift did you give, Leah? Play-Doh to your little sister Sophie? Huh? With the grandma. Okay, okay. Good. Thank you. Yes. Nancy and I gave several gifts, but being grandparents and being tired and so forth, we just gave money to most of the kids. That's what they want anyway, so they can spend it. Except for one gift that we ordered too late, and it's coming in January. So those folks are going to have to wait. Thank you for sharing about the gifts that you received and gave, because Christmas is not just about receiving, it's also about giving, is it not? Let us bow in prayer. God of forgiving love, as we celebrate your love crashing into our world, we praise you for this greatest of all good gifts, Jesus the Christ. And at the same time, work to develop in us the grace of generosity. May we learn to give ourselves away even as you have given yourself to us in the Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming forward and sharing.
First of our scripture lessons this morning is found in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It's in the Pew Bible on page 594, the large print Bible on page 773, and I believe projected on the screen. Listen for the word of God as this passage is read. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. It's found in the Pew Bible on page 5, and the large print Bible on page 6. From this gospel. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Before we sing 'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime, I would like to share with you a few of the things that I have been told about this hymn. This was the first hymn, I understand, to be written on the North American continent. It was written by a Jesuit priest by the name of Jean de Brebeuf. He was a missionary among the Iroquois in what is now Canada. He was martyred by them when they misunderstood something that he said or something that he did. Elena will play it through completely. It may be unfamiliar to you, but listen for the First Nation Native American tones to this hymn. Then we will sing it. Thank you. In the darkness of Christmas Eve, 1914, as German and British soldiers faced each other in trenches separated by a no man's land, the German soldiers began lighting candles, illuminating themselves, and holding up Christmas trees with lighted candles in the branches. Then they began singing, "Still a knocked, Heilige knocked," and the British soldiers began to sing along, "Silent night, holy night." And the two entrenched enemies, leaving their weapons behind, climbed out of the trenches and met in no man's land. There they built a campfire, exchanged small gifts, shared family photos, celebrating together, celebrating the birth of the Prince of Peace. What a different place our world would be if those two sworn enemies had not returned to their trenches, taken up their weapons, and resumed trying to kill each other. The same may be said about our nation's response after September the 11th, 2001. William Sloan Coffin has said, "This is what President Bush should have said, could have said, quote, we will respond, but not in kind. We will not seek to avenge the death of innocent Americans by the death of innocent victims elsewhere, lest we become what we abhor. We refuse to ratchet up the cycle of violence that brings only ever more violence, death, and destruction. What we will do is build coalitions with other nations. We will share intelligence, freeze assets, and engage in forceful extradition of terrorists if internationally sanctioned. I promise I will do all in my power to see justice done, but by the force of law only, never by the law of force." What a difference it would have made if this teachable witnessing moment had been seized instead of forfeited. The same can be said for the preemptive, largely unilateral war against Iraq, a war that our own church and many others have termed unnecessary, immoral, illegal, unjustified. Yet even now, some are clamoring for, some are seeking to start another war against Iran. What if we followed the words of Jesus and the example of a Lutheran church in Yorktown, Virginia, a church that is the spiritual home of many military families, a relatively conservative congregation that is set in a community of military bases, a red church in a red county in a red state. Yet in the days following 9/11/01, the pastor of St. Mark's prayed not for a glorious victory, not for God's vengeance on the terrorist. Rather, he prayed for Osama bin Laden and for the people of St. Mark's to forgive their enemy. Diana Butler Bass tells us no one got mad, no one stormed out. In this most military of places, they prayed for forgiveness. And what a difference it would make if we would do as this man, who James Miller told us about in last Thursday's devotion in These Days, a man who wrote this letter to the editor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. "I have a message to those who stole my trailer and all-terrain vehicle. I give them to you. My heart was wrong when I found out you had taken them. I was angry at you for stealing something I loved. The Marine side of me just wanted 5 minutes with each of you." That attitude was wrong. I should have cared more about your soul than for what you took. I pray God will become a reality in your life and you can learn that Christ loves you. Because of him, I say that I love you more than the items you took. Jesus preaches and teaches, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Not warm fuzzies, but intentional, deliberate action for the good of the other. Attempting to see our enemies from God's point of view. This then is how we show the world that we belong to a God of justice and compassion, a God of mercy and grace. In this Sermon on the Mount, and in the specific words of our gospel lesson for today, Jesus offers, Jesus challenges us, Jesus invites us to grasp a New Year's resolution for the ages, a life-changing, life and world-transforming message that is both counter to our culture and runs against the grain of our human nature. In the Sermon on the Mount and in this gospel lesson, the lovable infant of the manger becomes a prophet, and he claims us and calls us to live a radically different kind of life, a life with Christ at the center of all that we are and do, a life with the God of justice and compassion as the boss of our living and of our dying. We may want a birth narrative without the prophet, but God in Christ doesn't offer us this option. Rather, in this Sermon on the Mount and in the person of Jesus, we hear a message that calls us to a whole new way of being, a message that will not allow us to be spectators in a theater enjoying all the pretty pictures, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer puts it. Here we hear the demands that we belong, body, mind, and soul, in life and in death, not to ourselves, but to God. Jesus preaches and teaches. It is not enough for us to care only about the people who care about us. It is not enough for us to welcome and to offer hospitality to those who include us. There's nothing extra special about that. No extra credit given. No stars in our crowns. Rather, we are called to be like God. We are called to reflect God's open and generous mercy. We are called to put legs on God's justice and live God's unconditional love. Compassion with no strings attached to all who are made in God's image. In this infant of Bethlehem, who is also the prophet of Jerusalem, God invites us to join the action, to be a part of the great reversal, the new ordering of life. As Isaiah says, when we allow God to teach us God's ways, and when we walk in God's pathways, then we will no longer react, wanting to hit back as we are hit. We will no longer seek revenge and the death of all our enemies. Rather, we will allow God to so enter our lives and to be our judge that we will turn our swords into shovels and our spears into hoes, as Eugene Peterson says. No longer will a nation go to war against another nation at the drop of a hat. No more will people train one another in warfare, in the art of destroying the other guy before those who threaten us can destroy us. Rather, come, let us live, let us walk in the light of God. Isn't this a New Year's resolution for the ages? Not to give in to our gut reactions, but to allow God to live in us and to act through us intentionally and deliberately through our transformed minds and hearts. Is this normal and natural and in line with our base human nature? No. If it were, we would already be doing it. Is what Jesus the prophet teaches and preaches easy? No. For if it were, we would already be doing it. Rather, Jesus calls us to a new way of being, to a radically different way of living. For Jesus did not say, go think about loving your enemies. Jesus did not say, form a committee and go study for a long time what it means to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. No, Jesus said, just do it. Live out God's wide open agape love, caring for your enemies as much as you care about yourselves, and seeking through prayer the best for those who seek to hurt and to destroy you. Express your place in God's family by loving and living unexpectedly, embracing all as God's love embraces you. What a New Year's resolution this is. If we would do as Micah preaches, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. What a game changer, what a life transformer this is. And if we would only seek to live God's perfect love in our imperfect world. O house of Jacob, come, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. Let us pause for a time of silent meditation. I invite you to participate with me in a time of reflection. Let us seek to hear God calling us to a new and different kind of life, to a life devoted to God, with Christ as our center, powered by the Spirit of the living God. What form, what shape will your resolution for 2012 take? Amen. I invite you now to put legs on your faith. Let us offer ourselves to God.
heard the challenge of Scripture, the challenge of the voice of our good preacher today. May we be emboldened and follow that charge and that challenge. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the light of the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord's countenance be lifted upon you now and forevermore. Amen.